stay tuned for Monday. This was just a sampler. Nice kirtan for 10 hours. Some devotees just joined us in the course of this afternoon. What a nice way to spend a holiday, a legal holiday where you don't work and come and enjoy Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees with the holy name at the center. It's such a nice atmosphere, Gita Nagari. One of the at the end of events like this, I'm anticipating, because I've had experience, a question comes: how do we sustain this nice experience, this uplifting, jubilant attraction for the holy name? How do we keep it? So when we have our question and answer session at the end, don't ask that question. Because this class is just dedicated to that question. I'll say, listen to the recording of the class. So the banner is steadiness. And there's different kinds of steadiness. When we speak of steadiness, Prabhupada used the term sometimes fixed up. So chanting 16 rounds steadily, observing the regular principles steadily. This is a criterion Prabhupada gave for initiation, minimum criterion. Steady in 16 rounds and following the principles. That's one kind of steadiness. Then there's another kind of steadiness that flows from that steadiness, and that's steadiness in their service. When I think of steadiness in service, it's just something that happened recently. I was in Shridham Mayapur in the end of the month of July. It's really hot. But there was there for a Mayapur GBC meeting, and it's amazing seeing how quickly the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is rising. Like, they're hoping to complete the superstructure by 2016. They're hoping to move the deities on the 50th. Is it? Yeah, 50th anniversary of ISKCON. They need a few, a little more dinero. But it's well underway. So one of the things that we spoke about was the master plan. That was an interesting two-day session on what is it like to build a city? Have you thought about what's it like to build a city? Join the master plan for Mayapur. And anyway, so while in Mayapur, there's a devotee. Those of you who have been to Mayapur, you know who I'm going to speak about. The devotee that performs Mangal Arati. Everyone hears about Jananivas and Pankajankri. And this is an unsung hero. This devotee that's, since I've been there, since I've been visiting Mayapur, he's always the devotee that performs Mangal Arati. He's as steady as a clock. Everything that he does, it's just steady, steady. Moving back the moving doors, and how he does this. He's amazing. And I've noticed also that he keeps his hair, just as Prabhupada said that he shaves his head once a month, the evening before the full moon, I think. It's just like clockwork, like fixed. Of course, those who he's following, Janani Vas and Pankajangri. Amazing. Or just thinking of some examples of steadiness and service. Some years ago, there was a very elderly disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who was the pujari. It was not the head pujari, he was the pujari for Gaur Gadadhar deities at Champahati. Those of you that will be coming to the Mayapur Yatra will go there. Champahati is a very, very beautiful place, once just filled with champak trees. So the flowers were sold in the marketplace, therefore Champahati. Like Namahata or Champahata. So there was a pujari that when he was a small boy, small meaning whatever, 8-10 years of age, Bhaktisiddhanta gave him first and second initiation and told him, you stay here and worship the deities for the rest of your life. And so he did. One pujari, with no association, following the order of his spiritual master, just served very, very beautiful and very merciful, large Gaur Gadadhar deities for his whole life. Just, that's all he did. And guess where he's going? Steady in service. There's many such nice examples, but that's a type of steadiness. Steadiness in extending care to others. Some devotees, not necessarily they are in one place serving the deity, but they're very consistent, predictably consistent, steady in caregiving, extending devotee care to devotees. So that's a type of steadiness. There's others like that, that they're describing behaviors that exhibit steadiness. And those behaviors of steadiness are supported by or arise from steadiness internally. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. What's the rest? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Naishtuki is Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, that where the Abhadras, the in Bhadra is auspicious, and Subhadra is very auspicious, and Abhadra is inauspicious. Where the inauspicious things of the heart are nashta, destroyed, prayeshu, almost to nil. One time Prabhupada was asked, what does that mean, almost to nil? He said, 75%. Then he explained that when devotion, because the heart is not pure, but by the bhakti process, the heart becomes pure, because bhakti is pure, and purifying, just like chanting, is pure. Purna shuddho. Nitya mukto. So by chanting, we become purified. And as that purification proceeds, then the bhakti arises, as we discussed this morning. So as bhakti arises, then the inauspicious things are eliminated. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati. Bhaktir bhavati. Bhavati means voila. And so it was. It arises. It's dormant in the heart and it awakens, it arises. Bhakti or bhavati. Naishtuki. To the stage of nishtha. So we hear that description also in Rupa Goswami's language. Where nishtha, Prabhupada has translated that as steadiness. And steadiness follows the eradication of anarthas or abhadras, the inauspicious or unwanted, undesirable things that are cluttering our heart. Miles and miles and miles of clutter covering the heart. We have a lot of work to do. But those things are, as they are eliminated by the process of devotional service, bhakti, bhajan, our practices of devotional service, gradually that position of nishtha is attained. When nishtha is there, the powerful force of bhakti is so strong that the influence of this other 25% is overwhelmed. It just doesn't show itself. And gradually that 25% becomes less and less. So it's just describing a stage of the unfolding of pure devotional service. I'm going to go to, there's material examples of apparent steadiness where it may look like someone is steady. Mother Kalini is here. Do you remember one of our way back when Kiranagri Institutes, when Sureshwar was here? Something that I vividly remember. Jai Dwaita Maharaj was one of the speakers, and it was the morning before the institute began, Gitanagri Institute, and the verse was, that was the verse for the morning, was Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Akinchana Sarvayars Gunais Tatra Sama Sate Sara Harav Abhaktashukuto Mahadguna Mano Ratena Dasato Bahi. The verse Sureshwar gave the class that morning. And the way he spoke was, well, it's kind of whitewashed. He said it's not really like that. There are lots of nice people, mode of goodness people, and he was doing food for life, taking prasadam from Gitanagri to people that were unable to get out and about, and so he was bringing prasadam to them. Nice, wonderful outreach gesture. And saying, they're really good people. So this verse doesn't apply to them, kind of a thing. And then Jai Dwaita Maharaj gave class the next morning. He didn't know that Sureshwar gave class on that verse, and he got out the hammer. It said, no good qualities, because that's what the verse says. Harab abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Mahadguna, no mahadguna, no good qualities. Those that don't have devotion to Hari, no good qualities. No good qualities. No, you know, no compromise from Jai Dwaita Swami. No good qualities. And the answer, the explanation that he gave was, if you see something that appears to be a good quality, here's what it is. It's a reflection of a good quality. So what's the substance within a reflection? There's no substance. And what happens when you tilt the mirror a little bit? The reflection is gone. Or through passage of time, the quality is gone. Or, you know, the modes of nature, the quality of goodness is predominant. But then there's these other qualities, passion and ignorance, that are also there in the mix, and sometimes they predominate. So those things that are impermanent, asat, well, they're not sat. And sat is real. It's like we were discussing earlier about shabda. Shabda is not ordinary sound. Shabda is the entire spiritual reality in sound. And that's, material sound isn't the same. It's the whole material creation is a reflection of the spiritual realm. The banyan tree that's upside down. It's a reflection of the real thing. So qualities like steadiness or any other good quality that you find in the material world, it's now you see it, now you don't. It's circumstantial, time and circumstance, change, and the quality's gone. And then something else, and then something else, and something else, and it's ever changing. It's unsteady, anishtata, unsteady. The whole material world, like quivering, like a reflection. The example in the Bhagavatam is a reflection of an object in water, where the wind is moving, the water. What's that? It's a reflection that's unsteady. It's not the real thing, and it's unsteady. Wait till there's a storm. You don't even see the reflection. Circumstance makes things maybe, and a relative sense, that's the maybe part, appear good, like steady. So sometimes there's steadiness that's just impelled from the modes of nature. Like a living entity takes birth in a particular body, and they don't go to parent school. This the mother duck takes care of her little ducklings. She doesn't go to school for it. I was visiting somebody once in upstate New York, long, long ago, and they had a little pond in the back of their yard, and there was a mother duck and some ducklings in Iowa. I just like walked in the direction, not thinking anything, and the mother duck thought I was after the ducklings. And her back arched, her beak opened, her tongue went out like this. She started making a sound and started charging me like she was a bull. And I ran. And she chased me. And little ducklings were following behind the mother duck until I got up on the steps and, you know, she gave me one of those, and she went back to the duckling. Stay away from my ducklings. So, you know, that state of maybe impelled by the modes of nature and so forth, the influences of material nature. There may be some steadiness in that regard. Some persons are... It's just their character. But the point I'm making here is all of those things that arise from prakriti, from the material platform, they're unsteady. They're unstable. They're circumstantial. Time and circumstance generated. But we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that there's a position of devotional service that isn't time and circumstance generated, ahoituki, causeless, apratiyata, there's nothing that can stop it. Here's something, and on this end there isn't something that starts it, and on this end there's nothing that stops it. Material, it's coming from the soul, then there's nothing material that can generate it. Or there's nothing material that can check it. Inexorable is a word that Prabhupada has used. It flows from the soul. Can't be stopped. Like Haridas Thakur's chanting. He said to the magistrate, the Qazi, if you want to punish me with death, and you were to chop my body into a thousand little pieces, I still couldn't stop chanting. Meaning it's coming from the soul. So we're using the body as the instrument, but real chanting is chanting from the soul. I can't. You could, and you can't stop me. Because it's coming from the soul. But so do with me as you feel. You're the king. You're the agent of the king. It's your duty to punish me as you see is proper. So real steadiness is something that springs from the soul, from the spiritual platform. And that's the result of coming to the soul platform, is the result of purity. We were discussing before about conceptions, material conceptions. They're like filters, and it doesn't let the spiritual conception in till we let go of the material conception. How are we going to gather? Even we hear the spiritual conception, we're going to hear it through the filter of the material conceptions that we presently have. Like people hear about the soul, for example, something very simple. And there's so many ideas out there about the soul. I could entertain you with great laughter for about half an hour of different ideas I've heard about the soul. Because they hear about, you know, the eternal soul. And they hear with their filters, guna and karma filters. So the real thing doesn't come in. So steadiness is spiritual steadiness, and spiritual steadiness arises directly from the soul, not from the modes of nature. Steadiness that doesn't come from circumstance or is interrupted by circumstance. That's what real steadiness is. The platform of steadiness. I'm bring this in connection with how do we take this experience with us and stay like super enlivened. It takes purity. So purity takes time. Purity takes purification efforts sustained over time and lots of mercy and eagerness to receive the mercy and eagerness to undergo the prescribed method of purification. So that steadiness, now I'm going to speak something from Bhaktivinod Thakur, where he speaks about steadiness in three different categories or symptoms. Steadiness of the mind, steadiness of speech, and steadiness of action. In sequence, steadiness of the mind, chanchala himana, Krishna, balad. The mind is very unsteady. But Krishna says it's possible to make the mind steady, and that condition where the mind steady is the condition of purity of mind. The state of contamination or conditioning or the influence of our prior involvement with modes of nature and fruitive activity subsides. There's 25% left or 75% gone. So when that stage is there, then there's steadiness in the mind. That means the inclination of the mind may be there, the residual effect may be there to go here, go there, but when bhakti is strong, the mind doesn't go there, or very quickly the mind can be brought back. How does that happen? One of the ways that it happens, Prabhupada describes, is following the instructions of the spiritual master. Very simple. Very simple principle. Vyavasayatmika bhuti ekeha kurunandana. And stay there steadily, where the intelligence is singular. The clue, or the secret to success in spiritual life, is right there in the purport, black and white. It's not a big secret anymore, but it's secret. You won't know it till you enter it, to experience it. That is taking the order of, Prabhupada writes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. No difference between one's life, one's soul, and the instruction of the spiritual master. You come to that position, there's steadiness, or nishtha, at least, progressively. So it doesn't happen immediately. It happens progressively. But when that stage comes, where the instruction of the spiritual master is your life and soul, then there's no deviating because of it. So you can say, because of love, because of dedication to the person from who has rescued your life from the darkness of ignorance. What am I going to do? Give my life to the service of the spiritual master. And how? According to his instructions. There was a... I'm listening to a morning walk, the whole series of morning walk conversations from A to Z, from Bombay to Zululand. And one of those morning walk conversations is in Durban, South Africa. And Sasrup Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, yesterday somebody asked me a question. The question was, we sing every morning that when the spiritual, by the pleasure of the spiritual master, one gains the mercy of Krishna. To get the mercy of the... So how do we know, the person asked, how does Prabhupada know? How do I know that Prabhupada is pleased with me? He said, because the person was asking, you have so many thousands of disciples. Prabhupada's answer was, so therefore there is GBC and temple president, and they know. He didn't say more. That he has requested them to monitor the well-being of his disciples. So then he did it again and said, yes, yes, they know, but how do you know? And then Prabhupada's answer was, therefore, they must follow the instruction. And they follow the instruction, and that's pleasing. How do we know if they're following the instruction? Well, you know, there's symptoms. But the relationship is, it's with Guru and Krishna, and you follow. Not, you know, it's proportionate to one's submission. 20%, you get 20%. 50%, 50%, 90%. 100%. Come to that 100% stage, and so even a little, that's accepted and that's pleasing. But, you know, the standard is, steadiness standard is, take the instruction to heart as one's life and soul, and be guided by that. Be, in other words, controlled by love. And then there's steadiness, and there's protection, and there's the spiritual world, the capacity to receive shabda from the person who's broadcasting that shabda. When there's less contamination in the mind, then when chanting, the mind can more easily stay. Like these five stages, each name, and steadiness of the mind. So the mind can stay for longer stretches because the mind becomes disturbed or taken away by other thoughts, desires, attractions, the modes of nature, impulses, previous contact, stuff just arises. Even we're trying, sincerely. Mind wants to go somewhere. And when that steadiness, that nishtha stage is reached, it's not just when we're chanting there's steadiness and then the rest of the time it's something else. That steadiness with the name stays with you during your duties. Did you discuss this point? Philosophical point during your... Because we had discussed. So Bhattahari is going to spend some more time sharing some practical application things, but he may want to speak on this same point as we were discussing earlier today. If you chant nicely, the holy name will stay with you, and that's your shelter. There's one example. I can't even remember exactly where I heard it, lately, it might have been Hari's story. Prabhupada was on, received a telephone call, and the telephone call was about a real estate matter. Maybe it wasn't Hari's story, somebody. And Prabhupada took a sheet of paper while he was speaking, is writing something down. So the devotee, whoever it was, thought it was maybe some figures from the real estate deal. And so then the phone call was over. They took the phone away. And they took the paper to do whatever they had to do, and it was Maha Mantra. While he was talking a real estate deal, he's keeping his mind fixed on the holy name. Or devotees, one of the services that Prabhupada accepted because he had kidney problems and there was uric acid throughout his body, there was poison throughout his body, so he would regularly have massage to help release from his body that toxin. And he wanted the massage done very hard, and he was insistent, harder. So they would do very hard. And two different devotees told me when doing massage, sometimes they would press really hard, and just coming out of Prabhupada's mouth was Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava. I mean, he wasn't audible, but that's his shelter, Krishna's holy name. Or this morning walk thing on Juhu Beach with Dr. Patel and all that, feisty conversation over different things. In between, you can hear very softly in the background, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. Just Prabhupada was absorbed. Even when doing ordinary things, he didn't depart. At least, that strain is running. There are certain devotees whose names I won't mention, but one of them's initials is JJ. He's always singing some melody. Right in the middle of a conversation, he's singing a melody or driving the car and he's softly, just absorbed. So when the holy name sticks to you or enters your heart, it becomes your shelter, it's your life and soul. Not just on a regulative sense, but it's steadily there. That's when Krishna becomes one's real shelter. Even it can be done in practice. But in the very advanced stage, when Krishna is in fact my only shelter, one's only shelter, that's the condition. One example, I think it was last summer, may have been 2 summers ago, a devotee couple from Chicago and their two children took the little vacation that he had from his job, and I think it was 2 summers ago, and they wanted to come to Gita Nagari. So they rented a car and got everything packed in the car. On the way, the mother is giving prasadam to the two children in the back seat, and she wasn't properly paying attention, hit a guardrail, the car flipped. And everyone in the car was screaming Krishna's name. And the report that I got was, it was nice that our thought went to Krishna's name. It wasn't nice that we were just, because it was panic. But there's a number of reports that I've heard like that with devotees in accidents, car accidents specifically. And just like reflex, it goes to the holy name. It just comes out. I've had that happen with car hits the curb, moving high speed and someone's not being attentive or whatever. Just it comes out. You have to think, oh, and I'm supposed to chant the holy name because this might be it. It just comes out from attachment to Krishna's holy name. And you go, oh, too bad it didn't happen. I could have left my body when calling out the holy name. But anyway, Krishna wants me to do some more service. when there's some danger, or some, Prabhupada's term is some sudden reversal, like you're going along the path of life and all of a sudden you find yourself going that way instead of this way. Check and see where your mind goes, because that tells you where your shelter is. They say at the time of death, those that survive have near-death experiences, all the events of your life flash by very quickly, like a moving picture. And those things that you're most attached to is where the mind takes shelter. So when you're in a difficult reversal situation, where does your mind go? It's very telling. Watch. Observe. In a detached manner, that tells you where your attachments are. And cultivate the attachment for chanting Krishna's holy name. So that's something on the steadiness of the mind, the 75% platform. Practice. It comes from continuing to practice. From wherever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. Bring it back to Krishna. And those nine keys of Bhurijan's chanting, that's one of the things. If the mind goes, bring it back. And N number of times, keep bringing the mind back. And if you practice bringing the mind back, it becomes settled. It becomes less difficult. If you leave the mind unbridled and just it goes, and the holy name is background sound and your real business is processing stuff, it's not good chanting. But continue to practice bringing the mind back, and gradually steadiness of the, from purity of the mind, from contact of the mind with the holy name. Then steadiness of speech. I said I would end at 6:15, but you, Kirtan, went a little long. More like 6:30. Okay. Tasting and vibrating the tongue, but this is speech. This is the vibrating part. Prajalpa. Needless. Some people are like that. Just they have to make some sound vibration. It's I try to pick seats, and because Southwest Airlines is how I travel, and you know they don't assign seats. So if I get, I'm next to a blah, blah, blah person, you know, I relocate. It's really tough. Or they're right behind you and, you know, blah, blah, blah the whole way. And it's just the uncontrolled tongue, prajalpa, over so many subject matters that are illusory. But it's, you know, it's important to those people to converse about illusory subject matters, so they do. Devotees should curtail that. I mentioned this, I'm going to gloss over quickly, but I mentioned it here already. The item of prajalpa is not just speaking, but time-wasting activity. And, my goodness, we waste lots of time. And when you analyze what are the things that you do that are non-essential for awakening bhakti, that's prajalpa. And just cut it out, or at least regulate it. Somebody in the room, I'm thinking, shared with me that they're bored at work, and so they spend time reading news at work on the internet, because that's loud. You've got a computer and they're not watching, so you, it's time waster. Read the Bhagavatam at work. Some people do that. One devotee periodically sends me questions, scriptural questions from work, and I asked him, how do you do this at work? He said, I'm reading database at work. Okay. But bring the time use to Krishna, and you know the speech use to Krishna. Avoid useless talk, avoid the fault-finding tendency. We've covered that at our retreats in the past, the art of fault finding. Avoid it. So do something else with your speech. Do something else with the mind. Do something else with your speech. And when you inquire from others, inquire about their spiritual well-being. Like, you know, hey, how's it going? Or, how's everything? I get that one. You know, how's everything? Well, Krishna's in control, so everything's all right. Everything. But when, maybe 50 times I've heard this in Prabhupada's lectures, he likes the exchange between Vishvamitra Muni and King Dasarath. When Vishvamitra Muni comes to visit the king, immediately there's the proper reception, and immediately the king speaks sweet words, because that's culture, and the sweet words he speaks are, how is your attempt at achieving spiritual perfection? That's like the starting point, the entry point of their dialogue. Not like, hey, how's it going? But even if someone were to speak like that, this goes back to the Shabda topic earlier. If someone, let's say, Srila Prabhupada, spoke to a disciple or a visitor or someone, how are you? Because the seat of consciousness is with Krishna and upon the soul, that's the place where the question is coming from, and it acts upon the individual differently. Those of you that have watched the Prabhupada Memories recordings, ITV, or have sat through Prabhupada sharing events, maybe 4 out of 5 have something to do with, especially devotees that didn't have so much association with Prabhupada, the little bit of association was just being in Prabhupada's presence, and he looked around the room and he looked at me, and I thought he was just seeing right through me, and he could see who I really was, and he cut through all of that yuck, and I felt purified. Just his glance or his words, and he was speaking right to me, and just those kinds of things. Because of the seat of consciousness. When the seat of consciousness is Krishna consciousness, then even ordinary things, ordinary speech, becomes very powerful, cuts right through, deep into the heart. And just those little exchanges. You know, Prabhupada giving someone a flower. It's an unforgettable memory in the memory bank of the soul. And give their life to Prabhupada from that exchange. Because it wasn't just the flower, it was the gift of love for Krishna, or the touching of their heart. Anyway. For us to come to the stage of steadiness, there must be steadiness of mind and practice, and steadiness of speech and practice spiritual sound vibration and avoiding the other kind. And then steadiness of bodily activity, which means steadiness of service or sensual steadiness, not allowing the senses to stray. We have instructions from our founder Acharya and his writings abundantly, and those that are guiding us in our spiritual life, and we control our senses according to those teachings and instructions. We don't stray. And if we stray, then it's like stepping outside of Ramreka, where there's Ravana waiting for us. We're protected as long as we stay inside of those instructions. And you step outside, here's my bow. Stay inside here, you'll be protected. There's the instruction. Protection. Step outside, anything can happen. And if anything can happen, usually it does. Maybe it won't, but usually it does. And if it doesn't happen immediately, it'll happen in time. Because then we'll think, oh, look, I can go outside of the instructions and nothing happened. Prabhupada said, you Westerners, now it's, you know, not just Westerners, but you Westerners, you like to go out on a limb to see how far you can go before the limb breaks. Then you come running back to the trunk of the tree. You know, taking the instructions and stretching it and stretching it and stretching it. Uh-oh. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep your senses, as well as your speech and your mind, within the purview of the protection of Krishna conscious instruction. And the regulations that we are enjoined to follow, just like Prabhupada said, therefore there are 16 rounds in the regular principles. Follow the instructions. So there's regulations that we observe to help us do those things and maintain those things. One of the appreciate, just like we heard that appreciation of Haridas Thakur, Prabhupada was speaking of, Sanatana Goswami similarly is described as being so fixed in his regulation that it was like lines in the stone. Raghunath Das Goswami, his paying of obeisances, he was so old at one point that when he would pay obeisances, he had this vow that he would pay obeisances some number of times, 100 times every day to the devotees, maybe some number more, I can't recall. And he was so old that when he paid obeisances, he couldn't get up. So the devotees would have to pick him up and help him and say, you know, please don't do that. He'd smile and then pay obeisances. Because it's just fixed. Fixed. Like lines in stone. Lines in stone don't move, is the hint. So our regulation should be like that. We take a vow, we maintain the vow, we receive a clear instruction, maintain the instruction, then we're protected. And then there's steadiness, at least to the stage of 75%. So, now, how does one get there to that steadiness? Bhagavatam teaches, Shrinvatasva katha krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantak soya badrani vidhunoti suritsatam, and all those nice instructions of cleansing. Taking, it's basically hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, which is exactly what we're doing, just like, you know, a big immersion of that, an Olympic session of chanting. Japa and kirtan and association and hearing and chanting together. It's wonderful. He gives a how-to reference to make the mind steady. Nice? You want to hear it? Would you like? Okay. I'd like to have my mind steady someday. In Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, carelessness is counted among the offenses of the holy name. So Prabhupada has added, and is also offense to be inattentive. Pramada is the Sanskrit word. In that scripture, the word pramada is used as inattentiveness. By the way, another translation of pramada is madness. So if you want madness, be inattentive while chanting. You'll get it. Makes the mind mad. And to make the mind dhira or sober, be attentive. It takes effort. That's the price. It takes faith that the effort is going to actually be successful to sustain that effort. Sri Harinam Chintamani, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing in reference to his own writing, has further divided this inattentiveness in three ways. Apathy, inactivity, and distraction are the three types of inattentiveness. Now, he breaks them down. I'm not going to read that part. This is now from, he says the cure for those three, that they're in gradations, are at the bottom, just like dead, inactivity, and then lazy, and then distracted. So he says that the cure for them is enthusiasm. And he writes, enthusiasm is not passion, because that kind of enthusiasm ends up in misery. But a sustained enthusiasm comes from a spiritual conception. Without a spiritual conception, you can't have sustained enthusiasm. So enthusiasm, now he breaks down this negligence enchanting the holy name, inattentiveness enchanting the holy name, is born out of inactivity, apathy, or indifference. Laziness and inertia are called inactivity. When utsaha is generated, laziness and inertia cannot remain. The absence of desire to work, spiritual work, is inertia. You know, the sack of potatoes. Posture when chanting. This, try to avoid that. Sit properly. Nayana Baram told me he's the source of that little event. It was at 61 Second Avenue. He described this to me. He was leaning in a Nayana Baram posture, kind of like slumped over, leaning against the altar area in that recording of Prabhupada chanting japa, because it was a practice. He would come for some time each day, and one day that it was recorded, and that one day it was recorded, Nayana Baram was slumped against the altar, and Prabhupada saw that and said, sit properly. And then after that he went back to slumping, I think. This inertia is opposed to the nature of spirit. If one allows inertia to remain in his body or heart, then how can he perform devotional service? So enthusiasm for devotional service, or trying for enthusiasm for devotional service, trying to be enthusiastic, then inertia is driven away. They can't stand. The state of apathy develops from carelessness. You're doing something and you're not so much paying attention to that something. And Prabhupada's phrase, the devotional service is like a razor's edge. Be attentive, because the razor can shave, but the razor can cut. So inattentiveness, carelessness, can cause a big problem. So when doing devotional service, when chanting, don't be in that apathy zone. It's a conscious decision. Be consciously, bring your consciousness to Krishna. Be enthusiastically, strive in that way at least. One should practice devotional service without deviation. This is instructed in Bhagavad Gita 6:23 as follows. It gives the Sanskrit. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. One should engage oneself in practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. Whoops. So then he gives the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, excuse me, Baladev Vidyabhusan's purport. I'll just read one line. He indicates, one becomes indifferent to whatever work he feels unqualified for. It's a really beautiful description. But who feels himself qualified to chant without offense? if you go to the material side, there's no qualification. But if you look to Krishna, this is where the chanting with prayer kind of idea. Like Prahlad Maharaj, energetically connect yourself to Prahlad Maharaj, because he was pushed by Lord Brahma before this roaring form of Lord Nrisingadev, and pacify him with prayers. And Prahlad said, I'm not qualified. They're my superiors. They're the ones qualified. I'm disqualified. I have the opposite of qualification here. And he listed them. He said, but one thing I know is that you're merciful. And because you're merciful, if I just compose some prayers with no gift at all, with no capacity at all, you're very merciful, you're very kind, you'll accept them. So here I go. And he offered his prayers. So, in that humble mood, trinnadapisunichena, even if we're not so humble, trying to be humble, trying to sit next to somebody who's humble, associate with them, trying some way, this way, to enter into the position where we just recognize Krishna is very kind and we appeal to his kindness, to his mercy. Then the progression, the enthusiasm, we can be enthusiastic because he's very merciful. Here's my offering. Please accept. These are spiritual principles. Certainly more can be said, but time isn't going to permit. Hare Krishna. So hopefully these will be these sound bites, the little instructions from our acharyas will help you tomorrow in 64 round day, and in the following day in kirtan, we're in 10 hours of kirtan, to receive Krishna, his invitation to be more actively and intimately connected with him. And then that will stay with you steadily when you return to your respective places. Me too. Our schedule is prasadam at 7:15. And the purpose of the prasadam at 7:15 is so that you can take rest early. Like, early, so you can be well rested, even get a little extra rest, so that you can be very attentive tomorrow and get up early and start your 64 round day early, and by the time Mangalarti is taking place, you're flying. So, a couple of practical things. Mona. Anybody not know what Mona means? Mona, please. And you'll find that it's very powerful. I mean, if you have to deal with your children quietly and respect that others are in this Mona position. And that means even during prasadam, you just silently take prasadam. You can chant in your mind if you like, but silently observe up until we complete our 64 rounds, the bell rings and the Mona breaks. Please observe that. Those of you that there will be activities for children tomorrow. Some of the adults will be sacrificing their time to help you see that your children are safely and nicely and devotionally engaged, so that you can stay focused in the temple. If there's some service that's required, please yield to that request for some service that's required. Do your best as far as possible. You'll see why when you do it tomorrow, but stay in the temple. If you need to go for walks, fine, go for walks. Come back and stay in the temple. And it will enhance your experience and everyone's experience. I think there's one other practical thing that just went away. So, if I remember tomorrow morning, I'll say. Huh? Ah, yeah, that's important. If you want to have good rounds after breakfast, don't eat a big breakfast. Or if you want to, like, struggle after you have breakfast, have a big breakfast. Modestly. I mean, take what you need, but a little less than you might normally, because just sitting or, you know, just doing this one activity is not, it's not the other kind that we're used to. So eat lightly and keep your consciousness light and absorbed in the holy name. That's a tip from experience with Chapa retreats. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.